Welcome to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and musically we'll get things rolling with this finale. The third movement of Haydn's Cello Concerto in D, in a performance featuring the English Chamber Orchestra with José Luis García conducting, and the cellist is Yo-Yo Ma. The Allegro finale of the Cello Concerto in D by Haydn. English Chamber Orchestra was led by José Luis García, and the cellist was Yo-Yo Ma. And good afternoon, Yo-Yo Ma.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing well and looking forward to hearing more about you and the Silk Road Ensemble and even Goat Rodeo. What a great title for a CD.
Yes, I think this title was chosen because we're trying to describe what we were doing, and we finally figured out that if we picked Goat Rodeo as a title, it will make people ask, what is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the urban term means something of what, a kind of a confusion of everybody doing his or her own thing.
Right. Well, yes. I mean, some people that use it in airlines, in flying, when everything goes wrong, you've lost your engines, run out of fuel, it's inclement weather, you've lost contact with radar, and you have to land the plane, and you do land the plane. Finally, everybody's safe, and then the pilot turns to the co-pilot and says, "Boy, that was a goat rodeo."
I've seen the Silk Road Ensemble perform before, and although there's certainly a lot going on, a lot of changes constantly in flux, I never got the idea that things were coming unglued. I mean, do they ever come unglued to that point when you're performing?
No, I think what it is that there are, usually people get together and there's a good sense of what things may turn out to be like. I think if you apply goat rodeo as a term with the sort of the bluegrass American music group that, with Chris Thiele and Edgar Meyer and Stuart Duncan, you apply that kind of terminology to the Silk Road. What you have is actually when you have people with, let's say, different languages, different traditions, with, really difficult travel issues, when you come from faraway places, it's TSA is the least problem that you have to deal with.
Well, that's true. I mean, just the logistics alone.
Exactly. And then in terms of communication, of sending music, and people who read music, people who don't read music, and people who, then I think you get more of a sense of a goat rodeo, because what you really want is a fantastic representation of the world on one stage that really gets along, is completely in the music, in the pocket, in the same universe, and enjoying each other's company. And so to get to that place, that could be a goat rodeo. But boy, is it worth it when it happens.
Now, in the Stevens Point concert coming up on the 18th, are you going to be playing not just the cello, but also the Morincourt?
No, I think on that concert, I will be playing pretty much the cello. But one of the things that's, I think, kind of neat about the concert is that we will be, I don't know if you, this great work that was written exactly 100 years ago called The Rite of Spring.
Oh, yes.
By Stravinsky. And
yes.
The question was asked, how do you celebrate something that was a work that kind of, people say, changed the face of music 100 years ago? How do you, so a Russian composer that took really folk traditions and put them into a very modernistic sound palette, totally, you know, unique language, collaborating with a Diaghilev and Ballet Russe in Paris. So ballet, different mediums, and, you know, supposedly there was a riot at the concert.
Yes.
Because people were so. So what would be a 2012 or 2013 version of that, you know, based on the values and the circumstances that created the first version? So what are we doing today? Well, I think, so we asked a great composer from Tashkent, Uzbekistan, who is very much trained also in the classical Soviet tradition, but is totally, you know, aware of all the Central Asian music traditions, and instead of using sort of classical instruments, he's using instruments from all around the world, so different musical palette, and he writes a piece, Sacred Signs, that also joins in old and new, but has this incredible quality of expectancy, wonder, mysticism, fun aspects, and also in many ways dance oriented, and mixing it with a visual element. And so I haven't heard it yet, but I've studied it, and I think it's an absolutely remarkable piece. So that could be an interesting with an array of percussion instruments that is just absolutely mind-boggling.
As the most famous cellist in the world, do you feel you're in a position to record or perform pretty much anything you want to?
Well, I may take issue with the first part of your statement, but the question, I think it's these days, because there's so many ways to record. I think it's kind of interesting to do things that sort of match the music or the kind of music to the scale of the company or the organization. And I think so people can now almost record at home and create
Yes.
And the CD stores have mainly, the mega stores have disappeared. But there's so many ways of creating CDs or doing it digitally.
Right,
so
streaming and all that.
Yeah, there's a lot of choice. For example, large organizations are doing it themselves. Some small organizations are doing it themselves. Some people actually go to a large record company and they do it in traditional ways. I think all of those things are now available. So it's kind of trying to find the right match that makes it interesting. Because I think in many ways, if you were with a very large record company and you are making a recording that you know is going to have a small sales, that's kind of like the waste of the larger organization's skill set.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
To do that. But if you want to kind of have the infrastructure to kind of distribute a lot of something that you think could be of interest to a larger audience, then it makes sense to have a larger company distribute this. So I think it's great to be able to have those choices.
You've traveled musically a long way in the past, I'll say, 50 years of your career. Is there a piece that you think is kind of like coming home for you?
Well, I think, you know, for me, the Bach suites are the six works that were written for cello alone, are the pieces I always go back to, and for checking in, you know, checking in musically, checking in spiritually, checking in terms of saying, oh, I figured something out, you know, in the last couple of years, and so this sounds different now. So I think, I've recorded them in my early 20s. I did another version in my 40s, and because they're such great pieces, but they're also a time marker for sort of, you know, if what I play or the sounds you hear are the tip of the iceberg, then what is fueling the sounds are all the experiences that you go through in life. And so each version will in some way reflect the additional experiences. And, you know, what have you learned in the last 20 years? You know, can you hear that?
Yeah, it's kind of a touchstone.
Yeah, and so that's kind of one of the set of works that I do go back to.
And the Bach cello suites were really, I'll say, rediscovered or considered as performance pieces for the first time by your teacher, Pablo Casals. What was Pablo Casals like? He had the reputation of having a pretty fiery temper, at least in his younger days.
Well, I didn't really study with him, but I actually played in an orchestra that he conducted at the Marlborough Music Festival for a number of years, and I had one lesson from him. And I also played for him once when I was 7 years old. So, but I admired him so greatly. And I think one of the things that stood out for me about Casals was that early on I had read something that he had said that impressed me greatly. He said, "I'm a human being first, I'm a musician second, and I'm a cellist third." And I thought, gee, that was really, I liked that. You know, I thought, that's, I want to be that way too. And I think I admired him because he had great principles. And he, you know, he stood up for what he believed. And I think that's something I admired tremendously. So he's a hero to me.
You must have played for, let's see, all the presidents from about 1962 on, and including Eisenhower, who was by then a former president.
Right. It's kind of, it's a fact that I discovered only lately because I saw a photo where, you know, it's like I was playing in a certain place and there he was. But I think it's kind of, I feel incredibly fortunate. Sometimes I think I'm Waldo. And in terms of, you know, the term of 6 degrees of separation, I think at an early age, for who knows what reasons, but I felt that I was dropped in, you know, in many ways to have been, had access to have this kind of honor. And it made me think a lot more about not just music, but what people do and how societies are formed and are shaped and evolve and grow. And, you know, I think having those sort of meetings, certainly not as a 7-year-old, but certainly in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, it makes me think about, you know, a lot about citizenship, what that means. You know, I think in Chicago, we started this thing called citizen musician. And what does that mean? You know, the idea of citizen musician, obviously we're all citizens and musicians are musicians, but what does it mean to apply your trade and your, or your art form, but as not just a musician, but as a citizen musician? What does that mean? And to me, it means really having not only what you love and what you're passionate about, but having the biggest picture in mind. You know, who is it for? And what is needed in the larger sense? What are we missing? And how can we better serve through the things that we have skills in?
So, Yo-Yo Ma, world citizen?
No, just citizen, or culture worker. You know, I think what I try to do is to be able to kind of understand with as much, you know, depth and breadth that I can muster, and then try to make myself useful.
Well, I'd say you've been extremely useful.
Well, I don't know, but the question is, did I take out the garbage?
Well, in a kind of broader sense, there's always that practical term, too, isn't there? There's always the, always the practical.
Absolutely.
Always the logistics.
You can have all the lofty ideas in the world, but it ultimately, it does boil down to having all the details add up.
The mundane, too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, and I'm sure that those in Stevens Point will look forward to and enjoy greatly your concert there at the Century Theater on Thursday night, October 18th.
Well, the ensemble and I can't wait. We're really thrilled to be able to be there and perform.
We'll look forward to hearing more.
Thank you so much.
Yo-Yo Ma, in conversation with yours truly, day before yesterday, looking forward to performing again in Wisconsin, in Stevens Point. And here's Yo-Yo Ma in a performance of a transcription for cello, originally it was for violin, of the Meditation from Thais, and he did the transcribing here, and he's playing with pianist Catherine Stott.